Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by LegalZoom. It's National Small Business Month. Get started today with an incorporation or LLC, plus legal advice from independent attorneys in 48 states, since LegalZoom isn't a law firm. Go to LegalZoom.com now and enter AAA in the referral box at checkout. And by Blue Apron. Blue Apron will send you all the ingredients to cook fresh, delicious meals with simple step-by-step instructions right to your door. See what's on the menu this week and get your first two meals free by going to blueapron.com/twit. That's blueapron.com/twit. And by Harry's. For guys who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now, go to harrys.com. For a limited time, new customers can get a free trial and pay just $3 for shipping by going to harrys.com/AAA. Hello, and welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode 257, recorded on Tuesday, March 15th, 2016. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and as for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Florence Ion.
Yeah, do it.
And I'm Gina Trapani.
Yeah. Yay! I realized we didn't actually talk about that, but I inserted you in there because I figured
it makes me feel like part of the crowd.
Exactly. Exactly.
So thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure getting you on, Gina. How have you been?
Great. I can't wait to talk about all the things we have to talk about tonight. I'm so happy I'm on this episode.
I know. This is a good one to be on. Yeah? Yeah? Because, you know, Google kind of did what they normally do, which is that they release things the day after our show. I'm pretty sure they do it on purpose. We'll be talking all about Google's surprise early release of Android N Developer Preview. If the Pixel C, which happens to be what I'm trying to do the show on tonight, to put my money where my mouth is, has new life thanks to some of the features of version N. We're going to be talking about how Google Maps is getting an update. We've got just a bunch of stuff in here. But before we get into the news, I have to tell you guys something. And it totally took me by surprise. Leading up to today's tech news today, I checked out an app called VTime Cardboard. I don't know. I'm going to try and launch it. I don't know if I'll be able to even do anything to kind of illustrate what it is. But basically, it's a social network for VR. Mm-hmm. And so you set things up. You know, you pick your avatar. It's like Second Life, but in VR. So you end up doing like, you can have friends in there. So you can connect with people that you want and have conversations in virtual environments with them. Or you can connect randomly to different people.
And oh my God, this is like the future of Facebook. You realize that, right?
No, I know.
This is like what Facebook is going to do in like 2 months.
It's really hard to show off, obviously, like this. Like, this is just the lobby, and there I am.
Oh, that's so kind of weird. You don't have a head.
Right? I gotta say, that was your feet and like a cross-section of your neck.
Yeah.
Apparently. Which I guess looks more normal when you got the goggles on, you know, and you're looking.
No, absolutely. First person and all that.
There we go. So I did this, you know, leading up to TNT, this was one of the stories. And I was like, well, sure, I'll install it and I'll try it. I ended up in an airplane with this guy from London. And, you know, you've got headphones on, so you're talking to them. And from your perspective, you're sitting like in a lounge, at least in the airplane, I was sitting in a lounge. And as you're talking, your avatar does like these hand movements that look, you know, I mean, it's cartoony, but it's somewhat natural. It was really weird, you guys. It was like looking into the future, strangely. And I hate to say that because it's kind of...
Oh my gosh, is this I'm going to hang out with my friends? Like, they're going to have little baby avatars because they're like too busy to like come see me. So we're going to be in this virtual reality world because like...
Maybe.
This is the only way we can hang out.
I don't know.
Because everyone's just too busy trying to do it all and have it all.
I don't know, but it was really weird. I expected to do it and I don't... like hate it or something, but I came out of it and I was like, that was really interesting. Like, I was very intrigued by it.
Did you like The Sims when it was like relatively new?
Yeah.
Because I was obsessed with The Sims.
I was not an obsessive Sims player, but yes.
Well, I was a lot younger when it came out, you know, being a kid and all that. But then, like, World of Warcraft and MMOs, when they really became a thing, oh, mm-hmm. my God. I was so into, like, the social community aspect of it. Right. I didn't even care
about
the game.
And now it kind of frightens me. Like, well, I was now, like, I don't want to click on that guy because then suddenly I'm talking to him and I don't know if I'm ready to talk to some stranger.
But I would just go into World of Warcraft and just, like, log in and go with my avatar, just go hang out with my guild buddies.
Yeah. There's precedent here. What do you think, Gina? Could you do this?
You know, I wasn't a big Second Life person, but there was a journalist who was really into Second Life who asked me to come into Second Life to do like an interview this one time. And it was a similar thing. We're kind of sitting in a circle. Of course, it's not that first person mm-hmm. perspective, like the VR perspective, but I actually really, really kind of enjoyed it. And I mean, just seeing that demo video, like there's some beautiful scenes, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're sitting like in space and around a campfire and like on a tropical beach mm-hmm. and there are, you know, things flying by. I mean, it seems kind of neat. I mean, it's like doing a, you know, FaceTime or Skype or a hangout, right? But with avatars. I mean, I don't know. It seems kind of fun. I don't know that I'd go looking to talk to randos, but you know, if my friends were into it, like I, you know, sure, I'd try it.
I wonder if it's going to be like the new, as Gina said, talking to randos, and it made me think of chat roulette.
Maybe not
have like been up at 3 a.m. once in college mm-hmm. on chat roulette with my friends. Talking to random people, and I'm imagining this in VR.
You go all wrong.
Oh God, people! The kids who are going into college soon—they're going to have quite a different experience.
Probably so. They're all going to be wearing their VR goggles as they experience
it. Just getting into trouble.
It was very interesting. I recommend if you are at all interested, you check out what was it called? Now I'm just seeing the guy.
I'm totally going to check this V-time. Out when I get home tonight. By the V-time. Way, I'm going to grab my cardboard and try this out when I get
you should
home.
Check it out. You won't be able to find it if you do a search in the Play Store, as I realized. You have to go to Google search in order to find it. Which,
I almost want to ask you if I'm going to remind you to email me before I leave the studio tonight because
I'll get you hooked up. All right, Brian, I hope your vocal cords are warmed up. It's time for the news.
The future is now, so stick around for the news that will soon be the past.
Ooh.
Android news mm-hmm. is happening.
Does that make now the past because now was then?
Well, it's about to be the future, but now that past, it's gone, yeah.
All right.
Well, speaking of the future, we have quite a couple of things to look forward to now. Last week, the day after our fabled Android show, Hiroshi and the crew surprised us with the Android N developer preview. Now, this isn't the full developer preview that you typically get after the Google I.O. keynote. This is, as I sort of called it, basically an alpha version of Android N, whatever it's going to be called.
I have it here. I can show it off while you talk about it.
So, unfortunately, I have not been able to install it yet because I will be quite honest with everyone that I took some time off after the GS7 review craziness. But you can expect, if you want to try it out and install Android N yourself, you can expect to use the new multi-window API. You'll also have access to the new picture-in-picture mode, which also works on Android TV, new notification redesign, notification bundling for apps like messaging apps to sort of help consolidate all of that, Doze improvements, which now works when your phone is in your pocket, Direct Boot, which will protect a device. Let me start that over again. Direct boot, which means a protected device, won't reboot only to the PIN login screen. It will boot up again and ask for a PIN when you first use it, which is good for alarms and things of the nature. Storage permission also been expanded, so apps can ask for access to a specific folder and not simply all of the storage. And also, Project Svelte has changes for removing broadcasts that can hijack things like the camera. And,
Well, so I've encountered that so many times with my devices where I'll launch an app and then it's like can't connect to camera.
Right.
And that's what they're saying that the Svelte changes will actually address is that it's kind of managing those background processes and releasing them in a different way so that hopefully won't happen anymore.
Right.
So I consider that a big win because that is the most annoying thing in the world ever. It's like, great, now I got to reboot my device or I'm not sure what I have to do in order to get back into the camera.
Ron Amadio, whose last name I always mispronounce is Amadeo. Amadeo. Pretty, rock me, Amadeo.
Pretty common.
Spotted freeform Windows mode in Android N. Now, because this is in alpha, beta developer preview, it's very possible that anything we might find could just be retracted by the time the final version comes out.
Yeah.
But this is very interesting just based on the conversations we've been having about Android turning into like a desktop replacement, especially what Google's trying to do with Pixel C and Android for Work, just trying to make the Android platform into more of a productivity platform, which right. is quite frankly not how we've thought of Android up until now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Pixel C is one primary kind of test
it's
of
the first,
Android.
It's the first of the many of this experimentation of Android yeah. being a primary device.
Yeah, from a more uh-huh. of a vanilla kind of approach. Did you ever, Gina, did you ever get a chance to play around with kind of the Pixel C and the form factor at all?
I haven't. I'm still a little wigged out by the whole idea of Android as kind of a desktop operating system.
Gina.
Yeah, but maybe I'm living in the past, you guys.
Well, I don't know. I mean, when I got the Pixel C and played around with it, and, you know, with the thought of, okay, could I actually live my life like this and ditch the laptop? I know I couldn't do it. For myself, I couldn't do it. There's just too many limitations. Mm-hmm. And up until N, there were too many ways in which it didn't necessarily work enough like a desktop to make that, mm-hmm. you know, maybe a little bit less painful. At least now with the kind of multi-screen kind of capability, it addresses a little bit of that. So I think I was kind of showing it off where you can kind of pull up one thing on one side here. You hold down on the, or sorry, you pull up your multitasking, tap a window, so that's full screen. And then if you hold this down, it pops it into multi-screen mode, and then you can select.
And you know, I love that so much because it pulls from the recent apps menu.
Yeah.
So you're not like going back on the Samsung TouchWiz. Let's see. You can like resize a window, and then it makes it into a pop-up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to sort of like move it around and make it so that it does whatever you want it to do, or right. it'll like leave the home screen and then you have to tap on the app that you want. It's kind of annoying. So it's nice to see this implementation. It's very smart.
What if there's a video playing in one of those windows? I mean, both of these windows are active. So if there's movement in both of them, they would both continue. What if you touched both at the same time? Like, I'm curious to know how this multi-window support is actually.
Ooh.
Oh, there you go. You're scrolling both at the same time. Those are both active activities. That's interesting.
So it's seeing your two fingers is it's just two separate screens and they're just going at the same time because both your fingers are on screen. What if you do it, can you try and do it like, I can't think of the word. Like that.
Wait, like this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, perfect. Okay.
I feel like I'm playing a game.
Yeah, no, totally. That's kind of neat.
Pew, 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 pew. Cool that you can do that. Like I've seen these multi-window implementations on other devices, and it was the kind of thing where if this was my current screen and I tapped over here, if this was my current screen over here and then I scrolled over here, there would be like a second where it would like shift focus over there, and then out of nowhere it would just like snap up. And I believe in one of my early reviews, I can't remember which device it was, but it did that, and I called it like fake multitasking because I was like, you know, it's kind of fake. Like they're both on the screen at the same time, but you're still kind of like shifting focus from mm-hmm. one to the other. And so it's like a halfway step. This really seems like it's kind of treating, you know, them both in their own process, which is pretty nice. So yeah, I don't know if this, sorry,
sound.
Gina.
It's like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My developer brain is spinning. I'm like wondering if both windows were playing sound or both windows were playing video. You know, if there would be competition for resources, just because, you know, Android prior to N has this very strict sort of life cycle thing where like there's one activity that's in the foreground and that's it, right? And like that's the only one that's active. And that's why you're saying that any other implementation, you know, was fake. But this is full on. These are two foreground active processes, which is just interesting because that just involves threading and, you know, like on the back end of Android, there's, you know, support for that background.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've got YouTube on the left side. It says background play is on. With YouTube Red, videos keep playing with the screen off. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about here. So there we go. Hopefully PewDiePie doesn't let us down and totally, you know, put something on the screen that's going to offend a lot of people. Let's see here. If I wanted to pull up play movies in the other one. I could. App may not work
with screen. App may not work with split screen. Interesting. Okay.
Well, but it looks like it probably is. We'll go ahead and watch Peanuts movie. Well, see, now this one really isn't. Okay, so now Peanuts is playing over here, and now focus over here. Got it. So you can see it's kind of juggling.
Interesting.
It, which,
That makes sense, right?
Yeah, I mean, are you really going to want Peanuts and PewDiePie? Peanuts and PewDiePie.
Right, you're not going to want to watch two videos at the same time. Maybe if you were doing a hangout with someone and watching a movie and talking about to them about it, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be... Man, why has nobody figured out a way to do that well? Like watching TV with a friend. I guess it's an old-fashioned way, just talk on the phone. Anyway.
Well, who knows? Maybe in VR you'll be able to do that.
VR. That's true. You just look one way and be like, we're watching TV, and then look the other way and be like, what do you think, friend?
Totally. I mean, seriously, you will be able to do that at some point. They have VR movie theater apps where
they do.
You're inside a virtual movie theater and there's light effects on the seats and everything.
I don't know if I'm going to wear a thing on my head, though, for like 2 hours because I'm totally... I just take over the couch when I'm watching. I'm just like,
oh. Yeah, there's always that aspect of it. So, I mean, I don't know. I still don't know if I could live with the Pixel C, but it certainly addresses some of the issues. And if Ron Amadio's kind of, you know, the resizable window functionality ends up coming to Android, that certainly helps again. So at least they're in the right direction. And well, we've been hearing about that split window thing for a really long time. So it's nice to finally see it.
They talked about that in the AMA, so we kind of knew that was coming. But remember, they still have 5 updates before Google I.O.
Yeah.
So we still have 5 iterations of Android N coming to us. And Hiroshi knows what's going to be put in it. Like,
yeah.
Who knows? Anything new can come through.
So do you remember with the developer preview of Marshmallow, when it first came out, the app tray was all sorts of weird. Like the,
Yes.
And I remember we were looking at the app tray going, wow, if this is the future, I don't know if I like the future. And then in the next release, they cleaned it up. And then the next release, they cleaned it up even further. And now
we were
where...
like, no, are you taking it away from us? What are you people doing? You give and you take.
Exactly. So, yes. So they make big changes that we will notice over the course of the next few months leading up to I.O. But what do we think about this kind of dev preview prior to I.O.? I.O. doesn't end up being the unveiling of Android. But we get this like early access.
This is perfect. The whole point of I.O. is that you're getting a bunch of developers together to talk about how to make Android better and how to make their apps run the best on Android. And the one thing that's really promising to me is not only are developers going to have access to this before I.O., so they'll be able to maybe offer more input or whatever Google plans on doing for I.O. this year, but it's the device makers are going to have access to the source code. So I am just hoping that this will mean faster software updates from OEMs, third-party OEMs, because that is still the biggest pain point. And part of a discussion we're going to get in later is even related to that. Just it's really important to have our devices updated on time, and it's really frustrating having so many people on varying versions of Android. And just can't do that. It's got to stop.
Yeah. Do you think this is a nut that Google can crack eventually, Gina? I mean, I feel like more and more with every version, this is something that needs to be addressed. We're not at the point to where it's like it's inconvenient because we've been in that inconvenient point for a really long time. But at a certain point, it's something that Google really needs to address in a very major way. And I'm not sure exactly how that happens technically. But I don't know. Do you think this is something that Google can figure out, and should they do it soon?
You mean the lag between updates for the OEM lack of updates? Yeah, it is a problem. It's a serious problem. They do need to address it, and they've tried a couple times. Right, they had that like 18-month thing, and I mean, they've been, you know, now they're doing the monthly updates. Like they've taken kind of small stabs at it, but it hasn't solved the problem.
Yeah.
I love the monthly updates, though. I will say, being a Verizon subscriber and having my security updates, perfect.
Yeah, that's really nice. Now, I don't think that this means that the developer preview is to prep developers. The developer preview is to get people ready for what's going to happen and get developers to get their apps ready for when it actually gets released. But I don't believe the source code has actually been released. I think it's just the images for like Google devices. I think the software, the source code drop comes later. I mean,
yes,
even though
yes.
Android's open source, you know, Google holds the source until they do the kind of the big drop in the end. And that's when the manufacturers can get a hold. So part of this is just like signaling to people what's coming. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, Twilight, hey, Flux, like some of your functionality is going to be built in here. Hey, Samsung or whoever has built in the fake multi-window support, like you're not going to have to do that anymore, et cetera, et cetera. You know, especially for Wear and Android TV and all that stuff. So there is definitely a signaling, and it definitely is getting, you know, developers prepped for what's to come so that they can update their apps. I don't know. Sometimes I wish that, you know, Google could do the big surprise, you know, unveiling, you know what I mean? Like I get that, you know, the way Apple does it is like, there's this NDA and I sign this NDA and there's all the secrecy and whatever, you know, and then there's just like, you know, big party thing that happens. Where with Android, you know, you see the sausage getting made in some ways, you know, which I like love because I'm a nerd and I want to see the sausage get made. But by the time that N does actually get released with the name and everything, you know, not only are we all going to be very familiar with what it is and what all the iterations have been, but we're not even going to get it on our device for several weeks. That's if we have a Nexus device, right? And most people aren't going to get it for, you know, months.
Year.
So it kind of takes the wind out of their launch sales, you know?
It really, yes.
But Gina, to your point, though, you're saying about like prepping it for developers. I'm thinking about the backup feature that came as part of Marshmallow, the apps backing up into the cloud, and how so many apps were not ready for that when Android M eventually dropped. And how I would have loved to been able to just even test that, you know, first as a reviewer and second as a user, because I actually have no idea if which apps back up or I still have no idea which apps back up or don't. And so in this case, you can get developers to sort of prepare for those features that are coming. And then they could be like, oh, that's great. There's this new feature coming. We got to take advantage of it. And then that way on launch day, like we'll have our app perfectly prepped. And then the app developers, they benefit as well because everybody's like, yay, I can keep using this app. I don't have to find an alternative because they didn't, you know, beef it up in time.
Sure, sure.
So. Right, right. That's true.
What about the name? I think Hiroshi may want to weigh in on this, Brian. Oh, hey, how's it going, Hiroshi? The hero, as we like to call him here. Hiroshi said, so the burning questions that's on everyone's mind. What will the end release be named? We're not telling you yet. that was pretty good. Gotta say, I doubt they're going with Nutella.
Please don't go with Nutella. I have so many like ethical issues with Nutella. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I don't
want
to get into it.
Oh,
but
okay.
I did because I just mentioned it.
Don't get into it because I enjoy eating it from time to time.
I do too. Should I not? Uh-oh.
We'll talk.
We're not turning it in.
Okay, we'll talk. We'll talk later. We'll talk. And those of you who are listening or watching, that's what Wikipedia
don't
is.
Don't listen
for.
To Flux. Anyway.
Yeah, I doubt they would.
But I also
because
don't
they
want
don't,
them to
they don't
do
tend
it again.
To do that. Yeah, well, yes.
I just don't want them to do the thing they do with KitKat. I mean, quite honestly, I'm just not into it. Like, I'm just aside my own personal feelings about Nutella and the brand that owns it.
I have no idea.
You know, it's just kind of weird, like, being like, Ferrero Rocher has a stake in, like, the next name of, you know, the next Android name.
Yeah.
It's just kind of weird. And I felt really weird about KitKat being a part of that, too. It was great. I mean, it was
I
a good
did
try
it first.
Marketing, but...
I did it first. And then it, like, totally, I guess I got used to it.
You know,
are there
I
any,
like
non-brand options, though? Like, nut bars? I mean, like, what, are there any options that aren't
nougat.
Brands? Like, Nutter Butter, Nougat, okay.
Nougat. And that way, if they go with Nougat, it's like, here's like the version. It's not like the sweetest treat that every kid would buy, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like the treat that your mom or dad would use.
What does Nougat look like
know.
In
I'm trying
your
to,
notification
like, sell
bar?
Nougat to
I don't even
right
know.
Now.
Yeah, I don't even know what Nougat
it's
looks like.
It's very chewy and it gets stuck in your teeth.
So
yeah,
is it just
okay.
like a square in the notification? You know, when you plug in the USB?
It's like a, the way I imagine it is the nougat that you would buy like in Italy with the pistachios
it's
in it.
It's a fun name to say. You got to give it that.
Nougat. Android nougat. It's kind of fun.
All right. I'm on board. I'm on okay. board with nougat.
Or they could just call it Android nuts.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The nut thing is problematic, you know?
That could go in different directions.
I know, but I'm just like, or they could just go healthy and just be like, Android spirulina, but that's S, but you
let's
know.
Let's see here. I feel like I have some options. Nerds. I like Nerds. Just
again, Willy Wonka yeah, though. Do we I really know, want to go I down know. The Willy Wonka path?
Nectarine.
That's
not non-perils. Non-perils or whatever.
So delicious. I used to,
delicious, but nobody knows what they are.
I know. Yeah. No, I mean, I used to stick my hand to the bin at Food for Less.
I kind of like
them. Sorry.
Neapolitan ice cream.
Neapolitan is a good one.
Yeah, or Napoleon is another dessert name.
But Napoleon, then it's like Android's got a Napoleon complex. That's going to be like seven headlines on
All I know is that Google doesn't necessarily tease a name and then end up picking it, really. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they like, just do.
They
just
tease the throwaways.
Because it's fun.
Yeah.
It's a great way to engage with the community and get them to sort of like talk about it.
So I doubt we're going to end up with a Nutella, but I suppose you never know. Only the important things on All About Android. And I should also mention, so, you know, last week we talked about the Nexus 9 that I had, that the Marshmallow OTA update to 6.0.1 came through, and it wrecked the device. I tried everything because I had not activated OEM unlock and developer settings. I could do nothing with it. Literally, my next option after everything I'd tried was to send it back to HTC. Turns out the images for Android N have a little extra juice in them where it practically forces it to be compatible with your device if you download it for your device. So it bypassed all the issues I was having. It installed. I was able to then opt into the beta and then out of the beta. And within an hour, I got an OTA, an official OTA from Google for 6.0.1. Did that, and I have a working device again.
So. If we were like Android Vice, I could just be like, how the Android and the alpha... Whatever, Android Ed saved my Nexus 9 or so. I don't know.
It
we can
saved
make it dramatic
me.
Or something.
And it could save you too.
The OTA downgraded you from N back to Marshmallow, Jason?
Yes. Yes.
So you because opted out of the beta program?
Exactly.
It OTA'd you back Marshmallow? Whoa.
Yep. Yeah.
That is some trickery you did there.
But it worked, man. I'm so happy because I don't have to send back to it.
When that happened to me, I was just sobbing. It was awful. It was the worst weekend I had in a while.
Like, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? But I did just also find out that they have turned off the OTA for the Nexus 9 effective today because they were having issues with it. So this particular thing might not work for you. But flashing N to fix your device, if you happen to be in the random weird state that my device was in, might still work for you. So I don't know. You do it at your own risk, I suppose. I think it's the OTA that's messing up some devices. But it didn't mess up mine, so. So there we go. Sorry.
Nah, nah. Jeez.
Sorry. I'm just really happy to have my tablet back.
No, that's good. It
makes me punchy.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're happy for you.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
We support you.
Any last thoughts on N before we move on? No.
No.
Seems pretty incremental overall.
Yeah.
The notification shade. I'm excited actually about the notification changes.
Yeah.
Going on. That seems like that's the thing that's going to affect me day to day the most.
Yeah.
It doesn't look so bad now. I'm looking over Jason's shoulder. I felt worried about it when I was seeing all the leaks, but that's not too bad.
Like you kind of worried that it was going to get a little too informational. You know, like that it was going to get too. And definitely, there's more going on here. I think, you know, the density of information is a little bit higher. Things are a little bit smaller and all that kind of stuff. But
is the density of information displayed any better on any other operating system? I feel like that's always something that's improving just as our use case changes.
Yeah.
Because these small devices were not primarily productivity devices and now they are. We just made them, so now Google in particular is like, all right, how can we make this work for you the way you want to use it? So,
and how can you make it work for yourself? Because you can reorganize and drop
I love
in
that.
Different tiles that work for you. Yes,
and you know this is why people like go to Samsung and go to other OEMs is that they offer stuff like this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, cool. Well, then, that's Android N.
So
in
exciting.
All of its splendor.
It's springtime. I just love springtime. The Google I.O. is in spring. And like, it's just, you know, birds won't shut up at night so I can go to bed. But it's nice. It means
it's lighter
spring.
Later.
It's lighter, yeah.
So we're going to I.O.
We are.
Gina, are you going to I.O.?
Are you going?
Nice. Not so far. But, you know, who knows? I don't know. We'll see. Probably not, though.
Who do I need to yell at to get you?
Yeah,
there?
Yeah. How many more times do we need to say that you're not going yet on the show in order to wake somebody up?
I'll be honest. I've been like under a rock. I haven't. Was there a lottery? Did you have to sign? I didn't do anything. I made no move toward trying to go to I.O., I have to say.
Yeah.
Well, because it's like trying to go to Comic-Con now. You have to like get in a long line and...
You're not even guaranteed to get it even once you get in the line.
You're going as press.
What's that? Yes, I'm going as press.
Press was like, they've been a lot quicker with the press
they
badges.
They have been. They have been. But, you know, for just attendees, it was the same deal, Gina. It was basically, you know, you had 48 hours to sign up, and it's basically a lottery as far as who is allowed to pay $900 and who is not.
You should get a hotel room the night before.
I already do.
Oh, perfect. The night before
is all about Android.
I know. So I'm like, we should just do the show on the lawn at the shoreline. Just like, we should just
we could just
YouTube broadcast it from a Samsung Galaxy S7.
Oh, boy.
In VR.
I don't know. I'm just
We'll see what happens. Yes, my plan was to do all that Android and then hit the road and drive all the way down.
Oh, my gosh. We should get a van and then just do like a stream of driving 2 hours to Mountain View.
Flo has big ideas.
I know. I have a lot of ideas today. It's daylight savings. It does it to me.
We
get Flo's whole train of thought while she's driving after the show.
It's very lonely driving here, by the way, sometimes. It's true. Like, I've been quiet for 40 minutes. I don't know what to do with myself.
All right. Well, how about this? Let's thank a sponsor, and then we'll talk about even more cool stuff. This episode is brought to you by LegalZoom. I'm a huge fan of LegalZoom. I've been using LegalZoom since, I think, 2010 is when I got my will and testament done shortly after we had our first kid. To run a successful business, though, this is a little different. You need to make the most of your time and your money. And good news, LegalZoom can help you save both. And this happens to be National Small Business Month right now. LegalZoom is the smart way for you to start your business. So right now when you incorporate, or if you form an LLC, you can also save money on some of the basics to get up and running with LegalZoom. After your business is set up, LegalZoom can help you with a ton of other things, reviewing contracts, dealing with day-to-day legal hurdles. All that stuff takes time away from growing your business. That's what LegalZoom's business legal plan is all about. You get legal advice for your business from independent attorneys licensed in 48 states. You can also get access to NDAs, lease agreements, and a whole lot more. The best part is you will not be charged by the hour. Since LegalZoom is not a law firm, you'll pay a low monthly fee with LegalZoom. Save time and money starting and running your business during National Small Business Month at LegalZoom.com today. Don't forget to enter AAA in the referral box at checkout. That's code AAA at LegalZoom.com, and we thank LegalZoom for their support. All right, we don't really have another bumper because we're not doing it. This is, the format's a little different this week. We're doing more news. Well, this is developer-y news, more along the developer lines. Gina, what is up with what was announced at Game Developers Conference?
A bunch of new stuff for game developers, which sound really, really cool. So the first one is search trial run ads. So a user searches for a game, they see the game in their Google search results, and if they're on a strong enough internet connection, they can stream a game live and try it out for 10 minutes directly from those search results. This is really similar to the streaming apps that feature that we talked about and they rolled out last December. So streaming games from search results, really nice.
Yeah.
An indie corner in the Play Store. This will highlight games developed by indie devs. Developers have to submit their game to be reviewed for inclusion. And I would love to know what the criteria for indie is, because that's debatable, but very cool that they're highlighting games from smaller developers. There will be a video recording API that allows for streaming gameplay directly to YouTube. Sounds familiar. It's twitchy. Sounds a little twitchy. Includes front-facing camera support. So I guess that means that the person watching you play can also see your face while you play, and you can insert witty banter as you go. And then some tools to predict which users will spend lots of money inside games to target them more effectively. So users who have spent, 30 minutes, more than 30 minutes playing games in the last month will we'll see your games if this is working working well. See your game more. We'll be more likely to see your game. So better targeted advertising there. So some really nice stuff coming down the pipe for game developers.
The trial run sounds really cool. Like you said, we've kind of seen this a little bit just in search results for apps. But I feel like games is kind of a different story, right? Like there's a little bit more of an importance placed on, you know, on games when it comes to, let's say, latency.
The return window is not very good
and
either.
That too. Like that's
a really
good
remember
point.
When it used to be 24 hours, I believe. And then I remember it was like 20 minutes. Anyway, now it's like half an hour, right? Or something like that.
It's right around there.
I haven't really refunded anything because it's my job. I just kind of keep the app. But it's kind of a bummer when you download a game and then you're like, this kind of sucks. I just paid $4 for it. I would like to get rid of it. You know?
Two hours of purchase.
2 hours. Okay.
Actually, the Google FAQ says you can usually return any app or game within 2 hours for a full refund.
Yeah.
And then after that, you know, some developers are very open to just get in touch with me and whatever. But you're right. I mean, it used to be ridiculously little amount of time. Mm-hmm. When they pared it down, they kind of went in the opposite direction. It was like, cool, you have 15 total minutes. And, you know, who knows if that's enough time to make any sort of a judgment. I guess this is 10 minutes of gameplay, but 10 minutes of gameplay, you didn't have to install a single thing. It just kind of appeared there.
And what if it's an RPG, though? That's a thing, because if it's an RPG,
then, you spend
then
10
it's like
minutes watching
10 minutes
the
just
intro.
Like watching, intro or like setting up your character, choosing hair color. Lord.
Yes.
You know, I had forgotten about the streaming app thing until I saw this piece of news and I was like, this actually has never happened to me like in a real world scenario. So I went and like looked and tried and, you know, searched for a term that I knew was going to get a streaming app result. As this is just at home on my home Wi-Fi, which I like isn't terrible. And I clicked it and was like, try this app. And it was like, you're not on a strong enough internet connection to do this. And this was just for a regular, it was like a word search app.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of like, okay, so if my home Wi-Fi here in New York City, like, isn't strong enough to support streaming an app, like, what are the game streaming game requirements going to be? So, you know, I don't know. Because like you said, Jason, just the bandwidth required for latency and the graphics, it seemed like would be higher than for a regular app.
Yeah. And it's basically running on an emulator on their servers. So that's basically how they're doing this. And then Indie Corner, I'm curious to see how this is treated. And like you said, what the terms are behind who qualifies as an indie developer. But basically it sits on the developer's shoulders to kind of apply to be a part of this. And then Google will take a look and kind of integrate those games into this special, carousel section, whatever you want to call it. But very needed because it's so, I mean, man, sometimes you go to the Play Store and you see the same big name, you know, thing.
I'm not
going
to play Clash of Clans. Stop asking me to play that game.
And there are tons of indie games being created all the time. I mean, gaming on Android is such a huge, it's a huge moneymaker, which is why there are so many games being created. So it's good to have a highlight for indie developers just in general. I hope to see that a little bit more, not just in games also, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. Well, our next topic is not as jovial as playing games, but it's just as important. Because playing games is important, just as important as this. So in the wake of the San Bernardino case, the security of all devices has been taken into question. And it turns out that less than 10% of all Android phones are encrypted, which is quite a bummer considering Lollipop had forced encryption and then that sort of got
removed
because OEMs were concerned with device performance.
Yeah.
And I mean, I absolutely understand that. But I was sort of thinking today because I read the piece in the Wall Street Journal about how so few Android phones are encrypted. And I think that's awful. that is my opinion. I think that it is absolutely awful.
You wish that more Android devices
were encrypted. I wish that 99.9% of Android phones were encrypted.
Yeah.
And I think it's a total bummer that the OEMs aren't catching up to how important this is, especially with the San Bernardino case and with this coming out. It's just,
it sounds
I want
like
my stuff encrypted. I want it just for me only.
Yeah. Well, so encryption, I mean, if you're running Marshmallow, if you're running Lollipop, you have the ability to encrypt.
Absolutely,
I think
a lot
of people don't know, like just aren't kind of really aware of what encryption is, why they would do it. When you turn it on, you get a little warning message. That's going to scare some people just based on the fact that it's a warning message.
Oh, my gosh.
So there's a certain amount of awareness that mm-hmm. is lacking, you know, as far as that's concerned. But, I mean, there is the kind of hardware aspect, which is that for whatever reason, on Android, on lower to mid-range devices, full disk encryption has been seen to kind of slow down performance.
Which and is a bummer.
So a lot of OEMs are going to choose not to go with it if it's going to make their device seem worse. So I don't know what the solution is there. Android's such a big, wide-ranging, scope of devices. Like,
and that's why I was thinking it's so great that we're doing this Android N thing early, because maybe the fifth update before Google I/O is going to be something to do with security, that they're going to roll through the pipeline and be like, here's this new thing that we're doing. So I don't know. I'm just it's just something I've been thinking about a lot lately after watching, John Oliver on Sunday.
Which is pretty funny.
But
he did his characteristic, kind of like, here's a 20-minute deep dive on a topic that people are talking about, but many people don't understand. Here, I'll break it down for you in a way that you will understand. And he did a good job of that.
And I think about people like my parents, my mother especially, who I know I talk about her a lot, but that's because she's my mom, first of all. And second of all, I convinced her to come back to Android. And I think about her and the way that she uses technology and how many times she's gotten into trouble with spam and with phishing and that sort of thing.
Don't click
she's
that
very,
link, Mom.
She's very vulnerable. And anyway, that's another story for another day. But I also think, like, I would like for my mom's phone to be encrypted. Like, she doesn't know that. And if she, as you said, goes into the settings and tries and sets it up herself because I told her to do that and she sees that warning, I know that she would come up to me and say, why would you want me to do this? This thing is telling, my phone is telling me this is bad.
Totally. Totally. I couldn't even imagine, telling my parents, you need to encrypt your device. One, when you go into explaining why someone might want to, It like right there gets into weird kind of, potentially scary territory where they can kind of be
like,
afraid
let's sit here and have
why
you're
even talking about it. Yes, exactly. Sit down. All right. I've got some things I need to tell you, Mom and Dad.
It has to be invisible and it has to be by default. Like, this isn't a conversation that any normal human being should ever have, right? Like, it just has to be. But it's a usability trade-off and it's a hardware trade-off. I mean, this might actually be a little bit of a segue. I mean, isn't the encryption part of the issue with why the 5X is kind of slow-ish? I don't know. I don't want to push into the next story, but like,
let's do it.
Let's do it. I feel like this is a great segue.
Perfect segue.
This is exactly the thing that OEMs are saying why they don't want to encrypt devices by default.
Right. Tony Click actually sent us an email. He said, after listening to last week's episode and the woes of Jason's wife's 5X. Got a lot of emails and tweets from people.
The first
that
thing
like,
I asked you when I got here.
Phone?
How's your wife's phone doing?
he says, I was just wondering if the latest update fixed her problems with the phone. I'm seriously considering the Project Fi discount, so any additional information on the 5X would be appreciated. She got the update literally last night. Like, the OTA came through. She told me
the March update.
Yes, the March security performance update. She got it last night. She accepted it. She said, so far so good, but she hardly has used her phone. And today's been a very busy day. I said, how are things going? She's like, I haven't used the camera. That's the big one. She's like, when I use the camera, I notice it almost every time. So I still have to find out from her, and I'll probably tweet it out or something. But Gina, you have the 5X. And you've had it for a while. Like, what? I don't know. Have you noticed all of these like crazy slowdowns and performance issues?
The camera has. I've missed pictures because the camera did not boot up fast enough or didn't activate fast enough. I use the double tap on the power button to activate the camera, and just black. Something's happening. I have it up, just black screen. It's not.
Oh, so frustrating.
And the thing, the thing that I was trying to capture is done. And the camera still isn't.
It happens on the 6P too, by the way, Gina. I have the same problem with the 6P and the quick launch especially. It's really frustrating.
Yeah, it's not quick. It is the slow launch. Mm-hmm. So yeah, no, it's been really, really frustrating. This is my third 5X because I have Nexus Protect and I broke the screen and then I got a new one and then the SIM card tray was jammed. So this is my third one.
Wow. Wow.
And I was like, oh, I'm going to get a fresh 5X. Like, it'll be better. You know, maybe this is just because, you know, in my head, I'm like, maybe it's just this device. But it obviously isn't. So I have not received the March update yet. I still have the February patch. But as soon as I get the March update, I'm taking that camera out and I'm going to quick launch the crap out of it to see if it actually fixed the jankiness, because there's definite jankiness. It's not my imagination and it's not just the, you know, my particular device, some sort of defect. I mean, obviously lots of people have been talking about it. It's not just your wife's phone.
Yeah, lots of people have been talking about it. And actually a lot of people have been saying that this update really does make a difference. Mm-hmm. So there's a glimmer of hope. I don't know if that's enough for us to totally recommend to you, Tony, emailer, to do the Project 5 with 5X discount yet, because we just kind of don't know firsthand. We know what people are saying on the internet, but people say a lot of things on the internet. So,
yeah, I mean, to go back to the encryption thing just really quickly, like I was watching a side-by-side video of the 5X and the 5, like booting up side-by-side, and the 5X was clearly slower. And part of that is because of the encryption, right? Like, you know, in order for the phone to access the data, it has to decrypt and encrypt on write and read, right? Like, it's just CPU, right? And it's part of computing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it makes no sense to a person who's buying a brand new phone, a new model of a new phone. Of course, I feel safer because I know, but you know, other people don't know, like, oh, my older phone wasn't encrypted and this phone is encrypted and that's why it's slower.
Right.
But it is a trade-off.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely is.
So I have an idea. Let's start going to schools and talking to children about the importance of encrypting mommy and daddy's phone.
It's an interesting idea.
Kids. Yeah.
Slow
mommy
down
and
your
daddy.
Parents. They'll never get another photo of you. Just turn on encryption and they'll never get another photo of you. You'll just be a blur. It'd be the back of your head.
You tell me how this little plan goes. I'm curious to know how many schools are open to having someone come in to have the sit-down encryption talk with the kids.
Talk about the NSA and Edward Snowden.
It'll be interesting to say
that's
the
not
least.
Even my beat, but you know what? I'll just
you're just taking it upon
just,
yourself to
just
make
read
it happen.
Wikipedia and dumb it down for kindergarten.
This is how change. This is how true change happens, right here, Flo.
Got to start with the little ones.
That's right. Before we move on, let's thank another sponsor. That is Blue Apron, making you not hungry anymore. That's right, because when you're hungry, you eat food, and when you eat good food, then you're happy, and that's what Blue Apron's all about: feeding you good food. But the thing is, they aren't making the food for you. They're just giving you the ingredients. You make the food yourself. So not only are you happy because you're eating good food, you're happy because you made it. Oh, you don't normally make your own food? That's okay. Blue Apron kind of covers you here. They send you all the ingredients that you need to make kind of a rotating schedule every single week. New recipes appear on their menu. So they send you a few recipes. It's always different. You get a box that's filled with all this fresh food, all the ingredients that you need to make all the meals that they're sending to you. Inside the box, you know, obviously the ingredients, but you also get these informational sheets. So you've got, you know, what ingredients are there, how much of each, what is the, you know, the recipe, all that kind of stuff, step by step with pictures that kind of assure you that you're on the right track. And I mean, I've made my fair share of recipes in my cooking history, and many times you get to the end and you look at the end result and then you look at the recipe picture and you're like, wow, they don't look nothing alike. How did I end up here? The Blue Apron recipes always seem to look exactly like they've spelled it out, because they're giving you literally everything that they have made on their end. They're giving you those ingredients and saying, here's how you do it. So it's kind of like Legos for food. Maybe they don't want me to say that, but it's true. Just put the pieces together. You'll have an amazing lamb and beef shawarma dish all set. And then you can't eat Legos, but you can eat these, and they're really, really good. Chicken cacciatore with fettuccine pasta and mushrooms, roasted cauliflower, panzanella with fennel. You don't even know what panzanella is. Neither do I. But when you get it, you'll know, and you'll make it, and you'll go, man, I want to make panzanella again. Piave cheese. I've never heard of that, but I want to eat it. Sliced almonds. All this is happening in your own kitchen, cooked with ingredients that sometimes you've never used before. Watermelon radishes. Oh, those are so good. Farro, purple potatoes. Recipes are between 500 to 700 calories per portion. It's all delicious. It's all good for you. I can't say enough good things about Blue Apron because it's delicious. And can you tell that I'm hungry right now? Right now, you can get your first two meals free. Just go to blueapron.com/twit. That's blueapron.com/twit. Check out this week's menu, and you'll get your first two meals free. blueapron.com/twit, and we thank Blue Apron for their support of All About Android. I got to push that hunger down. I'm not going to be able to eat for a little bit. So I'm going to push that aside, and instead, let's feast on a healthy portion of apps. Are you a map user of the maps, the Google Maps?
Let me tell you, girlfriend, without maps, I would be a goner because let me tell you, I have absolutely no sense of direction. The only way I get around in life is I remember a route I took, and then I'm just like, that is the only route I know. Do not tell me to veer off from that because it's going to be bad.
Oh, but it's so good when it tells you to veer off that. Because it knows that there's traffic.
Right, if you're using Google Maps. If you're just telling me.
True. Fair enough.
But yes, Google Maps is getting smarter. And I would say more than just getting smarter, it's getting more filled with features.
As it does.
Yes, it does. And so along with the usual transportation options, Google Maps will now start offering an option for taxi, car for hire. Already does this for Uber, but if you're not an Uber user, that's a bummer. It's a bummer, right? So now they're integrating services like 99 Taxis, Ola Cabs, Halo, which is H-A-I-L-O, My Taxi, which is used widely in Europe, and Get.
Yeah, all these are pretty much in different markets, definitely not in the U.S. market.
Yeah, they give you fare estimates just the way Uber did in Google Maps, although I don't think those were really accounting for some of the surge pricing. You can compare options inside the app. And, of course, this all links back to the fact that Google has been talking about its own car sharing service, perhaps self-driven car sharing
someday,
service,
eventually.
Something like that.
So there you go. Google Maps is regular. I mean, I use it all the time.
It's a great feature to have.
And it makes sense for them to kind of bake this in. It has a deep kind of app linking or app deep linking. Mm-hmm. So if you have like the Uber app installed, it's kind of exchanging information from the Uber app and bringing it into this interface. So you never have to leave Google Maps interface again.
No, and it's great because when I was in Barcelona, like there were some instances, you know what was really awesome about being MWC this year is the transit authority went on strike while we were all there.
Oh, that sounds
so. That was
awesome. Actually.
They like closed down a bunch of lines, and they weren't running trains as often, which is like every 20 minutes instead of every 3 minutes. Which, if you're from San Francisco, that's like standard. But yeah, there were times when I just was trying to hail a cab, and it's kind of annoying to switch between Google Maps, like to figure out when the bus is coming next, and then to figure out if.
Yep.
There's any taxis around. So this is nice. I appreciate it.
And I forgot to actually to include, but I just put the link in there for you, Brian, underneath the current link, that Maps navigation now has these bubbles that are rolling out to everyone. I got this over the weekend. So basically what it is when you're in the Maps view or the navigation view and you're traveling along, instead of just seeing kind of the turns on the map, you see this little like informational bubble over every kind of step of the way.
That is so much more useful.
It's awesome. Yes, in use, it's really, really handy, and it makes it even more clear.
You know how many turns I have missed because I didn't know that, like, because the map didn't, like, when you're driving, you can't really see the nuances of the map, so you can't, like, zoom in and see where the turn is, and I've missed turns so many times, and it's just so frustrating.
Yeah, it's really, really handy.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Very useful. So that's rolling out to more. Like I said, I saw it over the weekend, and I was like, hey, I didn't even know it was a thing. I didn't even know they were testing it. So.
Man, I'm jealous. You got it before me.
Oh, yeah. You know it.
Got Android N.
Yeah, but I had to jump through some hoops for that one.
I know.
What do we think of Waffle, Gina? Are you interested in Waffle?
I mean, I like waffles.
I do too.
I'm so excited about capital W Waffle. That is Samsung's new social network, which is in beta. This is from Samsung's experimental C-Lab division. The idea of Waffle is that a person can post a photo, and friends can then add photos and drawings kind of around it, like in a grid, kind of like, you know,
a waffle.
Okay. And, you know, this sounds kind of fun. I mean, really, this is the reality is this is Samsung's way of kind of showing off how the S Pen works, because the S Pen is sort of one of the preferred ways to do a drawing at all. But here you go. Yeah, here's someone sending a happy birthday.
Okay, this video made me giggle so hard last night. It's just the corny. This man looks so uninterested in helping Sunny celebrate her birthday.
I'm drawing a
Leave me the heck alone. I got you. Jeez. And then she's like, I'm so happy. I love life. I made myself a cake. Oh, wait. No, that's not her. It's her friend.
Oh, this is a friend. Yeah.
Look at this beautiful cake.
So somebody put a birthday hat on top of this woman whose birthday it is, just narrating for the listeners here in their group, and friends filling
in all of the little waffle cells. Like, it seems like one of those things that, okay, I could see this working, but only if everybody was all in on it. And I just don't know if everybody's going to be all in
on it. Like, just put it on Facebook. I would love when Samsung's my friend is having a birthday to just be like, everybody drop some, you know, memes and gifts in there. Let's, like, make it fun. You know, and some embarrassing photos, but...
Yeah. Samsung. Yeah, this is Samsung's
But Mark was at Samsung's keynote, and I'm sure they, like, talk. So I'm sure Mark's going to, like, call Samsung. He's going to call, oh, my gosh, I forgot his name, Ko.
Mm-hmm.
DJ Ko.
Like, hey, what's up?
He's going to be like, what's up?
What's up?
Can I have that waffle?
Yeah. I hear you got a waffle.
I hear you got a waffle. Can you put some butter on that for me?
Yeah, can I have some of that waffle? Could I put a little birthday hat on your waffle?
I think it's cute, but I don't think there needs to be a separate social network for it.
Well, you know what? Yeah. More and more, that's just how I feel about social networks lately. Like, I feel like...
So many.
I feel like any time a new one is rolled out, and I don't know if this is just me, like, over the social thing or me getting older or what it is, but anytime a new social network rolls out, I'm instantly like, it's never going to fly. Like, social networks are locked at this point. Like,
yeah,
everybody's got their thing, and it's going to take so much to move everybody over to yet another one at this point. I just don't know.
It's like Path. Remember Path?
Yeah. I remember Path. Did you not like Path? Well, it failed. Yeah, no, it did. No doubt. I actually liked Path.
I actually did too. Number of reasons, unfortunately, but, you know. Yeah. Remember when the startup scene was starting and, like, we realized that startup people can be mean anyway.
Nutella, startup people. I'm learning a lot today. No. We've got things to talk about.
Oh, my gosh. You know what, guys? It's daylight savings. I haven't, like...
It's 5:50 to you right now. I haven't
been sleeping, and I've been drinking, like, a lot of coffee in the morning, but then I'm staying up later because I'm just so caffeinated. And so I haven't been going to bed on time because I'm just... I get into bed at 12 now, and I'm like...
Whoa. Whoa.
So I'm just not sleepy.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
Yeah. What can I, 9 o'clock, what can I clean?
My 3-year-old is also not sleepy and then very sleepy in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Daylight saving.
I know. Let's get rid of it. Okay. Real quick, before we kind of move into the arena, we've got a couple of emails. So we talked a little bit. Emails. AAA@twit.tv, by the way. We talked a little bit about accessibility. On last week's episode, and I had my meltdown where I lost space and time because I couldn't remember something. That was a little embarrassing. But I did get some emails. We got some emails about accessibility from people who actually know because they use these features. So I'll just read a couple of clips from them, a couple of pieces from them to give you an idea of where they're coming from. Steve from Montana said, a man came into my store looking for a phone that he could use with some adaptive equipment he had. He used a wheelchair. To control it, he used a mouthpiece like a joystick. He told me it had a USB connection, so I plugged an OTG cable connected to an S6 into the control unit, and he was able to use and operate the phone with an on-screen cursor. He could blow into the controller to click, and then if he sucked, that would go back in the interface. It was the coolest thing ever. His equipment was not specialized for phones. It just used regular USB mouse commands. And there was no way that the iPhone could do this sort of thing. So that's
amazing.
I know. Could you? I mean,
that is amazing.
That's just super cool. Karen Mitchell says, I wanted to respond regarding the conversation regarding Android accessibility. I am totally blind. I've been using Android since Ice Cream Sandwich. I use TalkBack, which reads things on the screen for me. And it does this really cool thing. This is me, not her, where if you have your finger on the screen, you move it around, it'll tell you what your finger is over at that point, and then you double tap it and accepts it. So Google's done a great job, Karen says, on improving it since Ice Cream Sandwich. I've used iPhones in the past and have an iPod to play accessible games. But from my perspective, Android and iPhone vision accessibility features are both pretty equal.
Okay. All right.
So there we go.
Another side of the spectrum. Okay.
Yep. Yep. And then John says Google is John actually sent in a very long email with a lot of really great points. So if you want to read the whole email, go to our show notes, twit.tv/AAA. Hover on this in the doc and you'll see the full email. But I thought this was interesting. He says Google's always working to improve on these features. I'm running Android N on my Nexus 6P, and I've already noticed that they have added a night mode that's easier on the eyes, the ability to resize on-screen objects such as buttons or icons, not just text. You can actually mess around with the density, the image density, so you can make things bigger all around. And he says, and a much more accessible first run setup experience. So when you start the device from boot up, it has kind of a nice way to get into the accessibility features right from the get-go, better than it did before.
I wonder if that's going to get killed by the carriers, though. Because
That's a good question.
Yeah, because when I have Verizon phones that come in for review, you got the Verizon boot up. And I actually haven't looked to see if they have anything with accessibility. I'm going to start looking for that. Yeah. I'm really glad I really want to thank everybody who wrote in, because I got some tweets as well about people like offering to help me when I eventually get to writing this story, whenever that is. And I really appreciate it. And I love hearing this perspective. And I want to thank everybody for sharing their story.
Cool.
It's awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool. You know, I've had just briefly on accessibility, I had a little bit of a sort of developer accessibility revelation recently. I've been doing the Udacity Android Nano degree. I've been experimenting with Android development for many years, but now I'm trying to become sort of a more complete Android developer. And the last student project I had to do was making an app accessible. And just from a developer's point of view, like, I was embarrassed about how easy it is to enable things like TalkBack. I mean, to like just tag your buttons and images and text fields, you know, or any sort of object on screen that a screen reader would access, it's really, really easy to do in the code, in your layouts. And even enabling things like D-pad, you know, directional pad navigation, which is what the gentleman in the first email was talking about using, the blowing and the clicking. Mm-hmm. That's basically just a directional pad, you know, setting the order of the objects that the directional pad would traverse over in your app is also really, really easy. And it's just not something, I mean, developers have to enable it and test it, you know, for it to work. But it's really, really easy. And I like that. I really like that Udacity and Google has made accessibility a priority. This is like my third or fourth project in the course. So it's like pretty high up there. So I really like that they've concentrated on it. I like that they've made it really easy for developers. Now it's just a matter of sort of developers doing the things they need to do to make a screen reader, work reasonably.
Yeah, building it in, and I imagine as a developer, you realize at this point how easy it is to work it in, but how easy it may have been prior to knowing to overlook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, really? Yeah. I mean, you just test it out, and you're like, oh, it works, right? You're like tapping, you're like, this is it. App works, push it to the Play Store, right? You know, like you're not like, oh, let me turn on TalkBack and try that. Let me, try D-pad. You know, you just, it has to sort of become part of your QA process. Like you have to sort of be like, okay, let's think about all the users that are going to be, and localization is another thing for right to left languages, and that's a whole other ball of wax. Also not that difficult to implement. Oh. But yeah, it just is a matter of sort of awareness. I think when you're able-bodied and your vision is good and you don't have to use these tools yourself, I think, which a lot of the developers, that's the case, especially smaller developers. You just think it works when I tap it, so I'm going to push it. It's good to go.
Nobody, and that is his nickname in the chat room, his or her nickname actually, says, Gina, is accessibility better added at the end of the development cycle or all along as you go? What would you say to that?
I think it's good to do kind of all alone. In fact, Android Studio has this tool called Lint. It sort of gives you little notes about your code, like, oh, hey, you're missing a meta content description here. Like, you should add that, because that's, for screen readers. So I sort of try to pay attention to all of those sort of auto-generated warnings in my code as I go, because, kind of why not? It's just easier to do as you go. But then I think in the end, you have to do kind of your end-to-end test for every scenario. scenario, because it's easy to just kind of make little adjustments here and there and then forget to adjust your descriptions or the text. So polish at the end, but pay attention kind of as you go as well. So I guess kind of both.
Excellent. Thanks, Nobody, for that question. Excellent. I love this. I love that that accessibility is kind of part of the conversation. I think it's really important and very easy to overlook, like we've kind of said mm-hmm. the last 5 minutes. So excellent. All right. Before we get into the arena, let's thank our sponsor, and that's Harry's. I'm sure most of you would probably agree with me that shaving is not always awesome. Scratching, in my case, scratching my face. Sometimes I get nicked. There's nothing worse, I think, than starting your day off by cutting yourself with a bad razor. It's just not something, you know, I've ever really looked forward to, cutting my face. But Harry's has changed that. Not looking forward to cutting my face, but actually not ever cutting my face. That's the beauty of Harry's. I actually look forward to my shave now. It's not just kind of this chore that I have to get out of the way in the morning. It's a welcome part of my routine. Harry's makes high quality, high performance German blades. They're crafted by shaving experts. They feel really good. It's the best shave I've had in years. Harry's is factory direct, so the blades are about half the price of the leading brands. Harry's ships right to your doorstep. They send you a nice little package, a box like this, and you get all the things that you need. In this box, I have the foaming shave gel, which I do use every time I shave. You get this little, you know, kind of a container with some replacement razor blades in there. And then you get this, which you're kind of wondering maybe what it is. This is so that if you pack your blade away in your bag or whatever, you can kind of protect it so that when you reach in to get it, you don't hurt yourself. You don't cut your fingers. The point being, we don't like to cut ourselves. And, you know, when you're using a razor by Harry's, you're not going to. It works so well on my face, and I know it will for you too. Over 1 million guys have made the switch to Harry's. Their website's streamlined. It's easy to use. It takes less than 30 seconds to place an order. Great customer service experience. Blades are super sharp, provide a close, comfortable shave, and you just get a lot of great things. They've redesigned things, so it kind of has more. The old handle was maybe a little bit slipperier. And now it kind of has more of a tactile feel to it, so it doesn't slip in your hands as easily as before. So they're even, you know, they're improving the entire experience as they go. Sleek, and it costs half as much as other razor brands. So why pay $32 for an 8-pack of blades when you can get them for half the price at Harrys.com? That's what it's all about. Harry's offers customized shaving plans that make it easy to get shave supplies delivered directly to your door on your terms based on how often you shave. Harry's is so confident you'll love your shave. For a limited time, they're offering to let you try it for free when you sign up for a shave plan. Get one of Harry's beautifully crafted razor handles with a 5-blade cartridge, their foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for free. Just cover the $3 shipping charge. Go to harrys.com/AAA right now to start your free trial. Guarantee you're going to love this stuff. Harrys.com/AAA. And we thank Harry's for their support. All right. It's that time. Time to battle it out in the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives.
Android Arena.
Arena. Jeez.
Sorry.
No, not you. No, not you. I'm sorry. Oh. No. I'm so sorry. I was looking at the chat, and then I just saw like the numbers, and I'm like, geez, I'm still like down in the dumps. Sorry.
Philosoph as Wade County.
Well, that's the IRC name I use when I forget my password to my actual name.
Okay, I was like, I don't know if you chose this or not. Okay, so Philosoph, with one win through week 10, guests with two. So Gina, maybe you can rack that up to three. Ron at four. I'm at three.
What is happening
with my win this week?
Why are you
with
people
Diddy
letting Ron win?
I know I put in the poll. I put Ditta, but it's actually Diddy.
Okay.
By Zia or Zia. I'm not sure. And apparently, whoever's at the technical direction desk voted for Stack. Thanks a lot. for not voting
for me. That's me. Thank you, whoever did that. I love you. You're on my Christmas list this year.
Anytime, Flo.
All right, Brian's got you covered. All right, I'm happy with that. So Diddy wins at 56%. Atomas, it's not Atomas, with 21%. Stack with 16%, and Calorie Counter and Diet Tracker with 7%. The returning loser.
Jeez, man.
I know. I call myself the returning loser, so I just... Yeah, sorry. Sorry, I should figure out a different way to say that. Next week. I'll figure out next week. But this week, what you got, Flo?
Flosif. This week.
Flosif.
Like, how could you talk to me as a millennial? Tell me that I'm still a special little flower, even though I'm not winning anything.
Don't worry, I have a trophy for you. I'll give you a trophy.
Yay. Trophy. All right, so everybody, I am terrible at getting up in the morning. But when I do get up in the morning, I tend to spend a lot of time on my phone before I eventually get out of bed, which has become a pretty bad habit, but it works for some reason. Although I don't know if my coworkers really appreciate me logging into Slack like the minute I get up, but regardless, I wanted to find like a fun little app that I can wake up to every morning. And so I found, this app called Morning Kit Smart Alarm. And actually it's possible that somebody may have also suggested this to me. So if somebody did suggest it to me, I'm sorry if I completely forgot, I've just been getting so many suggestions from people trying to help me beat Ron in the arena. And so I just want to tell everybody thank you. I'm just going to say thank you. But back to the smart alarm. So this smart alarm is smart in the fact that you can put these little widgets here that you can peek upon the minute you wake up in the morning. It's very small on camera, but I will describe to you what is happening here. So up here I have the weather for the day, which is good to know so that I know what to wear. I have my agenda so that I know if I need to get my butt up immediately to get on BART or if I can kind of stagger a little bit. I have a countdown to my wedding day. Ooh. And over here I have Google News, just like breaking news, which this morning was really dire and just made me realize why maybe waking up to the news is not like the best thing to do.
Maybe that's not a good idea.
But there are a bunch of things that you can customize. Good. So you can add... let me see how to do this. So you can add a world clock. You can add a flicker ticker. So you can add
flicker ticker.
I made that up. But you can add in a username or a keyword, anything that you want to see pop up from Flickr. We have a exchange rates, photo frame, which pulls from your gallery. You know, quotes if you want to wake up to my eyes.
Inspirational.
Yes.
Inspirational.
Memo. You can add a little memo. Also, there's a little cat thing over here, which is so silly. Let me just tell
Look
you.
At,
let me
yeah.
replace it with the news so you guys can
I wanna
see.
What does it mean? Like a cat photo?
It's literally just like this silly little cat widget. It's just he like does stuff. And he has some days he has quotes where he's like, oh, today's quote is listen to your gut. So today's quote is telling me to listen to my gut.
Mm-hmm.
My gut's telling me to take more probiotics, but, you know, everybody's gut says a different thing. And, of course, we have the typical alarm settings here, so you can set your alarm. Now, I'm just going to tell you, everyone, that I am not happy with stock Android's default alarm sounds. And
yeah,
neither
I'm
is my fiance, because I snooze them, like, 12 times. So I actually really like the alarms that come with this. I don't know if you can hear this, but I'm going to try and play it for you anyway. Let's see. Boop. Oh.
Do it, Morning Kit.
It doesn't do it. It doesn't, like,
play it,
which is kind of annoying.
Morning Kit.
Come on. You're not helping me with my arena here if you're not playing. Anyway, they have their own music. That you can wake up to.
And it goes, doo 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 doo, or something like that.
Actually, I might be able to play it.
Do it, Morning Kit.
No, it's not doing it.
Aw.
Fool! Anyway.
I like the idea of a dashboard, though, when you wake up.
Yeah, I do. I like it. So when you wake up in the morning, it pops up a little, like, widget, and then it says, like, snooze or dismiss, and then you can... Snooze or dismiss it.
Snooze or lose.
It's great. Morning Kit Smart Alarm. If you just want to add a little routine to your morning, if you're like me and you hang out in bed in the morning for like 20 minutes before you.
God, that must be nice.
You know, it's because I don't have kids.
Yeah, it is.
And the cat eats at night, so she doesn't wake us up in the morning.
Waking up gradually in the morning. I forgot what that's all about.
You know what? I'm just going to be like...
No.
I'm just going to be like,
soak
child.
Soak it up while you can.
Child,
that's all I
dress
say.
Yourself. Like, I don't know. Just... Yeah,
here's a tablet.
We
go
are
over
not
that.
Morning people, so I don't know how that's going to work. But
you do it because you have no choice.
That's what I hear.
That's how
from,
it works.
That's what I hear. Morning kit, smart alarm.
Excellent.
For like those
it.
Of you, who
I like
can
it.
Afford to stagger in the morning.
Well, and even if not, maybe it actually improves if you've got to like dart out of bed every morning. You know, it tells you the thing you absolutely need to know.
I actually appreciated having it this morning. I'm going to still sell you on my app. I really liked that I had the news briefings this morning. I knew about all the terrible things that happened.
It's like a double-edged sword.
Yes.
Cool. Morning kit, smart alarm. Gina, I have your app installed, and I went through the foo to get it installed.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, so my app is, and I apologize for this, but it's still in beta. So in order to use it, you have to go through the kind of, opt-in to test this app. It's in public beta, though, and we'll post the link to opt-in in order to get access to it. But this is such a cool app, you guys. I had to tell you about it. It's called Airtable, and I was using it on the web for a while. It's airtable.com. But the Android app, which, again, is in beta, is really, really nice. I wasn't sure how they were going to handle it in the mobile app because it's a little bit of an interesting, complicated app, but they did a really, really nice job with it. So let me tell you what this is. Airtable is basically like a spreadsheet, but kind of like a tricked out, like next level spreadsheet on steroids that has database features. That sounds really boring, but it's super, super cool. It's a little bit hard to explain too. So the app comes with a bunch of like suggested templates and video tutorials you can run through to kind of get an idea. But the idea is basically this. You can create like a personal database. Say you're apartment hunting or planning your wedding or inventorying your art collection or, I don't know, putting together a sales lead list at work. You create a new database. You create a table in your database and you define the fields just like you would in a spreadsheet. You can do text or numbers like a regular spreadsheet. But then you have all these like really much richer options like checkboxes, multiple choice fields, images and file attachments. And you can create another table and then you can link the tables. For developers out there, this is basically like relational databases, but for consumers and done really, really well. So say you are using this to keep track of like job applicants. You could have two tables. You could have applicants and positions. And in the applicants table, you could link to the positions table and say, these are the positions that this person applied for. That sounds like a little bit dry, but just take a look at this thing. It's really, really neat. It's really visual. The fact that you can attach images to each basically row in the spreadsheet, quote unquote, air quotes. You can attach multiple files, different file types. You can have these checkboxes, kind of toggles on and off. And when you load up your database in the mobile app on Android, you can customize your field and you can flow through. Each row is presented as kind of like a card, similar to kind of like a Google Now card. Thank you, Jason. You can see the examples there like are actually really nice. They kind of give you a sense of what it's like to set up, you know, an Airtable with different attachments and images and notes. You can do really long text fields and multiple choice fields, and then you can link the different fields as well. And you can kind of scroll between what would be a sheet in a regular spreadsheet. Those are actually tables. And it's just a really, really neat way to keep track of, you know, stuff. Like if you're running your kid's soccer club or, you know, if you're, you know, keeping track of your favorite jokes or your art projects, restaurants that you like. Really, really neat stuff, especially for people doing like creative projects. Like if you write a blog or you're producing a film or doing an album, really easy to keep track of. Data heavy kind of stuff. You can share Airtables. You can customize them in the app and online as well. It's all synced to the cloud. I believe there's an app for iOS as well. And just really, really neat. You know, once I started using this, and I'm using this for kind of like a goals and projects, kind of like task management kind of stuff. you start to go like, oh, this is what like regular spreadsheets should be like. Every spreadsheet should be like this. So anyway, check it out. It's Airtable. Like I said, Android, the Android app is still in beta. So you do have to opt in to test the beta. But from my usage so far, it's pretty mature for a beta app.
Yeah, it is.
And you can also just go to, and it's totally material. You can also just go to the website, airtable.com, and try it there. You can log in with your Google account, which makes it easy. And yeah, it's got support for emojis and all sort of, kind of tags. Really, really nice, cool, neat kind of personal database app. That is Airtable, and it's free.
It has a jokes section, too. What does a nosy pepper do? Gets jalapeno business. Jalapeno. Okay. I really
that
like
that. That was not memorized, clearly.
That's good. I like that joke. I never heard that one before. Airtable. Yes, there is a link. It'll be in the show notes. Actually, I think the code right there that I made goes to the opt-in for the beta test. So you can go there. Awesome. You can opt in as a tester, and then there's a link on that page to take you through. To go, but this is a really nice looking app. If this is in beta form, like it's really well done, well thought out.
I know it's nice. As beta.
Someone in the chat mentioned that it was like a top app in the iOS App Store today.
Okay. So I needed a gimme, you guys.
On traction.
Yep. Fantastic. It's Airtable. Might have a hard time finding it in the Play Store if you do a search through the Play Store if you haven't opted into the beta. So. Look for the beta or go to the Airtable site. Do a Google search for Airtable. You'll find the site and they'll probably have the information there, I would imagine.
Yep. Yeah, if you Google Airtable Android beta, you'll find the help doc that where they point you to the link.
Fantastic. Great pick.
Fantastico.
Mine's pretty simple. So I've done I've played around with a lot of like clipboard apps, essentially, copy to the clipboard, whatever. And they only work if you can actually copy some text to a clipboard, right? But there are certain apps that don't allow you to do that. For instance, let's take YouTube, for example. So you've got this text down here. You really want to copy it. You hold on it. It doesn't do anything.
I didn't know that.
You can do nothing to that. Or, for example, no, not that. That's Google Plus.
Instagram. Yep.
Yes, go to Instagram, find some text. Let's find
something. Because people put URLs.
It lets you do nothing. Lets you do nothing.
Bummer.
You can't do anything with it. Nothing. I've illustrated that. Universal copy, when it's activated and you've got it all set up, allows you. Here, let's see. So let's go to Instagram. And then I'll go to my little notification. And I'll activate copy mode. You see up there at the top, it says universal copy mode. Boop. Copied. Or I can go to YouTube. The thing that I couldn't copy before, go up here, activate it. You see up there, it's activated. Boop. Copied. There you go.
Boom.
Boom. Now you can copy paste everything. Take that, Android. Yeah. That's all I got. Universal copy. And it does that, but it doesn't. Brian is not a friend.
I was kind of hoping he'd like pop up Hiroshi on the screen and Hiroshi would be like, what you talking about, Willis?
You aren't supposed to be able to do this. Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah, oh, there we go. There he is. Scolding Hiroshi.
Fine. Whatever, Hiroshi. Go away, Hiroshi.
Jeez.
Well, I mean, he's going to tell me not to copy things that I want to copy. Sometimes I want to copy. Actually, I don't know if I
don't copy that floppy.
Well, now you can copy that floppy with universal copy. So there you go. Pretty straightforward, simple app. I don't know how it'll fare, but hey, it solves a problem that some people have. It's called universal copy. So three great apps, all very different this week. Morning Kit, Smart Alarm.
Which, by the way, has an in-app purchase I forgot to mention. So you can take away ads and get themes and stuff. It's a little under $3.
Support the developer. $3. Yeah. Airtable, opt into the beta, and universal copy for the things that you can't normally copy. Go to bit.ly/AAAshow257. Yes, I still can't get that other URL shortener to work, but it doesn't matter because this is our new thing, apparently. bit.ly/AAashow257 and place your vote. Looks like Brian really likes Morning Kit. Just saying, you got his vote.
Brian, we're gonna be best friends for a long time. I can already tell.
We both share having a hard time getting up in the morning. So.
Oh, okay. All right.
I can relate.
That is it for this week. Fantastic time hanging out with you both. And Gina, it's just so great to see you again. What are all the things that you're working on right now?
I'm working on a couple of things all under the banner of my company, ThinkUp. Go to thinkup.com. You can check it out. Doing a social network insights tool called ThinkUp. And also making kind of an IMDb for apps called MakerBase, makerbase.co. And that's about it. Check them
Radical.
Out. Thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun tonight. I really enjoyed talking Android N with you too.
Absolutely. And we'll get you back when Ron's here so he can, you know, do his typical Ron thing and yell. And stuff.
I can try to beat him in the arena.
All right. Sounds good. Gina, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank
Flo,
you.
What have you been up to?
Me? What have I been
up
to?
What are you working furiously on?
Well,
nothing.
I'm not sure if I can talk about it yet. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Then
anyway,
don't.
I've been working on work. You know me. I'm a staff writer at Greenbot and PC World, writing about Android and stuff. We got a bunch of reviews coming up of more phones and stuff. Got some fun stuff I'm working on this week. I kind of don't want to give it away.
Don't give it away.
I want to surprise y'all. I got something really fun coming up that I'm working on this week. But anyway, just keep in touch with me at Twitter, at Oh That Flow.
Oh That Flow.
Oh, is there. 24, open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But I'll probably only answer you when I'm awake.
Yeah, exactly. Not when you're asleep. Good, as it should be.
Yeah.
Brian, what about you?
Well, per usual, I'm pretty busy with Know How on Thursdays at 11 o'clock. Me and Padre have been having a lot. This week we had Raspberry Pi Day, so we did a bunch of Raspberry Pi projects. We've got a crazy cool gaming PC coming up soon, so stay tuned for that. But otherwise, you can follow me at @cranky_hippo. And Flo, aren't you going to be on Screensaver
soon?
Oh
my gosh.
Yeah.
That's right.
I thought you were going to be like this weekend, right?
Yes, I'm going to be on the new Screensavers this weekend. I'm so sorry I forgot because my brain is mushy today.
So I'll see you again on Saturday.
Yes, so I will be here on Saturday. And also, if you have any Android-specific questions or questions about life, you can email newscreensavers@twit.com.
Yeah, sure. That's
close. Someone help me.
I'm pretty sure that didn't work.
Okay.
Just
wait,
go.
Wait,
just,
I think I have the bumper from last time.
Thank you.
Need tech help?
Need the tech new help. Screen. See, I don't even remember.
Yes, there we go. Oh my gosh. I always accidentally TV. Say .com. I'm sorry. I am the worst ambassador.
It's okay. We got it.
Or honestly, you can tweet me. You can tweet me, and I will send it over to the powers that be, and we can try and get your questions on the show this Saturday.
Fantastic. I'm about.me/JasonHowell. Follow my music at yellowgoldmusic.com. And that is it for this week of All About Android. Voicemail can be left at 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us an email at AAA@twit.tv. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Android Show. We have a subreddit called twitaaa.reddit.com at there, not called it. Show notes and past episodes at twit.tv/AAA with all the details. It's our doc that we run the show from. There, posted for you to read. And you can catch us live every Tuesday around 5:30 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That's it for this week. We will see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everyone.